Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Happy Resurrection morning, Resurrection Sunday. That was so great what Rick did, the He is risen, and you guys responding, He is risen indeed. So can we try that again? But giving you a moment to find the passage, get in a good gust of air, and know exactly what you're going to say. He is risen indeed. So He is risen. Fantastic. Yes, He is risen. Luke 24. Let's read starting with verse 50 and through to verse 53. Then He led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. While He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Let's pray and ask God for His help. Our Father, we do come to You boldly because we have been commanded in Your word to come boldly unto the throne of grace to find help in time of need and mercy. And we can come boldly unto this throne because it is dripping with grace, because the one who sits on that throne is the King of Grace, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, who sitting on that throne opens up all of the treasure stores of the promises of God for us. And in and through and by Him, we can find help and we can find mercy. And Lord, is there any greater help or greater mercy than the word coming to our souls in the power of the Spirit sent from Jesus? And so we ask, like the oil that was put on Aaron's head and dripped down to his beard and to his body, that the Spirit of God that was given to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come down now to His body, would bless us with the word. Answer, Father, the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17 when He prayed, sanctify them through Your truth. Your word is truth. Bless Your people, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. And while they were on their way to the temple, they came across a lame man. And by the power of Christ, they healed this lame man. And as a result, all of the people surrounded Peter and John, asking them what had just happened. And in Solomon's portico, Peter explained to them that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified, had risen from the dead, and sitting at the right hand of the Father in power, He lives and is living through His church that is empowered by the sent Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so they said, He has been healed by the power of the risen Jesus. And Peter continued to explain then, well, this risen Jesus, what did He come for? And he said this, God, having raised up His servant, sent Him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And the point is clear that Peter is making. Jesus came to bless you. He took upon Himself a human nature. He grew into a young man. He carried out His ministry, died, was buried, and rose up from the dead to bless His people. There are many ways that we think about Christ and His ministry. We think of the preaching Christ, right? The Christ who healed the multitudes, the Christ who exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. But how often do we think of the Christ who blesses? The blessing Jesus. Maybe you've come here this morning and you think that Jesus came to condemn you. You think that Jesus came to curse you. But John 3:17 says that God sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so Jesus came to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. And I don't know in what condition you've come this morning to this meeting of Harbor Church, but I have the best news you could ever want to hear. And that news is the news of the gospel. It is the news that Jesus Christ came to bless you. Well, in Luke 24:50, we find the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives after his resurrection and before his ascension to the right hand of the Father. And there, before he ascended to heaven, he lifted up his hands and he blessed his disciples. We see the priest who blesses here. The Bible teaches that Jesus has three offices or functions that he fills, in which he acts sovereignly. And those three offices are prophet, priest, and king. Here in Luke 24:50, as Jesus lifts up his hands and he blesses his disciples, he does so in the office and function of the high priest of his people. Hebrews 4:14 points to this reality. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus is our great high priest. Okay, but what does that mean? How is he our high priest, and what does that have to do with the lifting up hands to bless his people? If you have your Bible, could you turn to Leviticus chapter 9? Leviticus 9 records for us the time when Aaron began his high priestly ministry. Leviticus 9 says, on the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. And they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Then Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him. And he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. Then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him piece by piece, and the head, and he burned them on the altar. And skipping to verse 22. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Let me illustrate to you the parallel here between Luke 24 and Jesus lifting up his hands to bless his disciples and the great high and the high priest in Leviticus 9 lifting up his hands to bless the people of Israel. The high priest offers a sacrifice for sin. Jesus offered up himself as a sacrifice for sins. The high priest lifts up his hands to bless the people after he had sacrificed the animal. Jesus, risen from the dead after the sacrifice, lifts up his hands to bless the people. The high priest goes into the Holy of Holies to intercede for the people of Israel and to present the blood of the sacrifice. Jesus, risen, ascends into heaven to present the blood of the sacrifice to intercede for his people. The high priest then appears again to bless his people a second time. So the Lord Jesus will one day come again. As he ascended, he will return, and he will return and bless his people again. The people fall down in joyful worship as the glory of the Lord appears in Leviticus 9. And here the disciples worship Christ with great joy in anticipation of the reappearance of Jesus and the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. As Jesus stands here and he blesses his disciples, he does so in the function of the great high priest of heaven, the great high priest of his church. Well, what is this blessing that Jesus blesses his people with? We need to understand that what Jesus does here is he gives a priestly benediction. A priestly benediction both declares and actually bestows the reality of blessedness upon all who believe. Say one of your kids did a really good job cleaning their room, and to reward them, you want to go give them some candy. So you stick your hands deep into the jar of candy with your hands full of candy. You walk up to your child and you say, "Open your hands." And you say, "This candy is yours," at the same time that you open up your hands and drop them into the open hands of your child. As God's people come with the open hands of faith, so Christ, with his hands full of the blessings of the gospel, says, "These are yours," declaring the reality of blessedness, and then opens up his hands and drops into their open hearts, open with faith, all of the blessings of the gospel. And what are these blessings? First, the blessing of reconciliation. Not long before this, in verse 40, we read that Jesus appeared to his disciples and he showed them his hands and his feet. Well, why did he do that? Because his hands and his feet were scarred from the crucifixion. And he was showing them his hands and his feet to show them the reality of his real death. He was the one who died. Jesus, the same, now risen and before them in a real body. And when Jesus lifted up his hands to bless them, the hands he lifted up were nail-scarred, nail-pierced hands. And this illustrates for us the inseparable connection between blessing and sacrifice. The hands of Jesus with the nail piercings teach us that blessing comes through sacrifice. The work of the killing and the shed blood of the sacrifice is the basis of the blessing. The shedding of blood in Leviticus 9 of the animal made atonement for the sins of the people. The sacrificial animal was a substitute He stood in the place of the offending sinful Jew. He suffered God's curse in order that the offender might receive God's blessing. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would actually lay his hands on the head of a goat, and he would confess all of the sins over the people over the goat. And Leviticus 16:21 says, "He shall put them on the head of the goat." In verse 22, "The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself." Likewise, the sins of God's people were put on the head of Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "And the Lord has laid on him," the suffering servant, that's Jesus, "he has laid on Jesus the iniquity, the sin of us all." So Christ became the substitutionary sacrifice who stands in the place of guilty, offending, sinful, messed up, condemned, cursed people like you and me. And so Paul wrote, "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Because the dying of Jesus was a sacrificial work of atonement. And now the hands of Christ are the hands of blessing, because they once were the hands that were cursed. It's interesting, if you read Leviticus 9 and you pay attention, the same hand that was dipped in blood was the same hand that was raised in blessing. And here the same hand of Christ that was pierced and was dripping with blood is the same hand that is raised to bless his people. And as he lifts his hands, he blesses them with the blessing of reconciliation, the blessing of peace with God, the blessing of no more condemnation, the blessing of atonement. And then also the blessing not only of reconciliation, but the blessing of intercession. After the high priest offered the sacrifice and lifted up his hands to bless the people, he left the altar. He went into the holy place where God's presence peculiarly dwelt, through the veil in a cloud of incense, to make intercession for the people of God by presenting the sacrifice, the blood. In the same way, Christ is about to ascend from the altar of the Mount of Olives through the clouds of the heavens, through the veil into God's presence to make intercession for his people by presenting his blood and person before the Father. His lifted up hands of blessing point to what he is about to do. He is about to ascend, now that he's risen, ascend into heaven itself and to continue maintaining and securing the blessed state of God's people as long as they live. The work of Jesus as a sacrificial victim cannot be separated from his work as the high priest who intercedes for those people. Well, what does it mean to intercede? John Bunyan, right, wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He said this, quote, "His dying is laying down his price. His intercession is urging and managing the worthiness of it in the presence of God against the devil." End quote. One of the Puritans, Stephen Charnock, described the relationship of Jesus as sacrifice and interceder, his work on the cross and his work in heaven, his work in death and his work in living. And he said that Jesus as sacrifice paid our debt, but Jesus as interceder pleads that sacrifice as a lawyer would plead the payment before the Father, saying, "This is what I've done. This sacrifice, my person and my work, has secured every blessing of the gospel for anyone who is in me and anyone who believes in me." As one hymn says, Jesus, my great high priest, offered his blood and died. My guilty conscience seeks no sacrifice beside. His powerful blood did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne. The blessing of intercession, but not only blessing of intercession, the blessing of future reappearance. After the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he came back out and he blessed his people a second time. And Leviticus 9 says that when he blessed them, the glory of God appeared, fire came down from heaven, and the people fell prostrate on their faces in awe and wonder. And this points to the second coming. It's interesting to note that in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, Paul writes that when Jesus returns, he will return in flaming fire. 2 Peter speaks of the fact of Christ's second coming, the day of the Lord. Every mouth, Philippians 2 says, will be stopped on that day. All will fall prostrate before Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 speaks of Jesus. In his face is the glory of the Lord. Jesus makes known to us the glory of the Lord. At the second coming, Christ, he is the glory of the Lord. And when the glory of the Lord appears, not Leviticus 9 glory, but day of the Lord, second coming glory, when Jesus shows his glory as he comes in flaming fire, the world will put their hands over their mouths in awe and wonder. These lifted up hands point to the blessing of reconciliation, intercession, and future reappearance. And then we read in Luke 24, verse 52, that it says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, what is the joy of these blessed people? This is you, church. Anybody this morning who believes in Jesus Christ, you are a blessed people. It is for you that Jesus lifts up his hands. It is for you that Jesus makes this blessing. What is their joy? First, the joy of being forever blessed. We once were cursed by God. Deuteronomy 27, 26 says, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. Without Jesus, all of us are messed up people. We are liars. We are perverts. We are hypocrites. We are thieves. We cheat on our taxes. We lie to get ahead at work. We use our words to hurt people. We don't love God like we ought to. We don't love people like we're commanded to. We are not just good people who mess up. We are deeply, seriously, morally bankrupt. And the God who is perfect and pure and just cannot dwell with the likes of us. And we will receive his curse for breaking his law. But with Jesus, we can be forever blessed. Because Christ, as Galatians 3 says, redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed everyone who hangs on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Jesus has taken our curses upon himself so that we might take his blessing upon ourselves. Those who are trusting in Christ have been united to Christ, so that his blessing becomes our blessing, just as our sin became his sin on the cross. And he brings us into a position of no longer cursed, but blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. We are blessed in the beloved. We have no blessedness, no grounds with which ourselves deserve any blessing or could have any blessing, but because we're in the blessed one, we are blessed. And as long as Jesus himself is blessed, we shall be blessed because we're in the blessed one. The joy of the Christian is the knowledge that if we are in Christ, God deals with us as his blessed people, the objects of his undying, unrelenting love, not as his enemies, but as his children. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." If you are in Christ, you are in the sphere and realm of blessing. When you feel broken and defeated by your sin, and Satan tells you God's sick of you, see the lifted up hands of Jesus. When you're tempted to believe that you aren't good enough to earn the blessing, see the lifted up hands of Jesus. When you're disciplined by your Heavenly Father for sin and you think that God hates you, see the lifted up hands of Jesus. When you get terrible news, that you have a life-altering disease and you wonder whether God has forsaken you, see the lifted up hands of Jesus. When your life is spinning out of control and stresses and pressures lead you to wonder whether God has forgotten you, see the lifted up hands of Jesus. In Christ, you are forever blessed. Second, the joy not only of being forever blessed, but the joy of being blessed with gospel blessings. We are blessed in Christ specifically with the blessings of the gospel. Well, what are those blessings? Those are the blessings that Jesus, by his life and death, has purchased for us. I'll just name a few. The forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forever pardoned. God will never bring them up again and never count them against you. Imputed righteousness means the perfect record of Christ's law obedience. His perfect covenant-keeping life is counted to your record. Imparted righteousness. Our hearts are transformed. Our once dead hearts, our hearts that didn't see anything beautiful in Jesus, didn't love Jesus, now they're alive and they love him and they love God. And he's written his law on our hearts and he's promised, "I will cause you to walk in my ways." Redemption. We've been rescued, delivered from sin, from Satan, and ultimately one day all of the effects of the fall and the curse, and we've been brought under the tender, shepherding care of Jesus. Adoption. We are children of God. We have a right to all of the privileges of his children. Access to God, eternal inheritance, a loving, protecting, providing, disciplining Father who will never, ever forsake us and never, ever cast us off. The Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, the channel of every divine blessing, who allows us to feel the love and comforts of Christ, who empowers us to fight our sin, who forms Jesus in us, and in short, bestows upon us every grace that is in God. Communion with God. We're in a relationship with God. We both receive love from God and give love to God. We are in an intimate and real relationship with the God of heaven and earth. New heavens and new earth. One day both earth and heaven will be renewed and every effect of the fall will be reversed. We will have perfect, sinless bodies and souls. These are just some of the blessings of the gospel. And when Jesus lifted up his hands and he said he blessed them, he was blessing them with all of these blessings of the gospel. They are declared to be ours in Jesus and actually bestowed upon his church in his priestly benediction. These are not first the church's blessings. They are first the Christ's blessings. He has earned these things. He has done the work for these things. They are His possession. His forgiveness of sins is Jesus' possession. He won it. And He can give it to whoever He wills. The new heavens and new earth, adoption, redemption, the Spirit, communion with God, righteousness. Every single blessing that is in the gospel is first Christ's and second ours. Given by Christ, not earned by us, received by us by the open hand of faith. Jesus gives us all of the blessings of the gospel. Third, the joy of a heavenly priest who pleads for all of these blessings. At the right hand of God, Jesus continually presents himself before his Father. Not that his Father in any way has to be convinced to bless us, but Jesus stands before his Father in accord with the will of his Father, applying and securing these blessings as long as he lives. Stephen Charnock, again, the Puritan, spoke of what an amazing high priest we have, an intercessor. He said, consider, Christ is an authoritative intercessor. Everything he asks for, he gets on the basis of his cross work. Christ is a skillful intercessor. He was tested, tried, and tempted at all points, just like you and me. And he knows how to intercede for people like us. Christ is a righteous intercessor. Everything he pleads for before the Father is exactly what the Father wants. Christ is a compassionate intercessor. The same sweet, tender, unrelenting love that drove him to the cross and compelled him to stay there now keeps him interceding as long as his people live. Christ is an earnest intercessor. At the cross, he would not come down. He would not stop. And now he will not stop to plead for his people. Christ is a joyful intercessor. The joy that was set before him, with which he endured the cross for the saving of his people, for the salvation of you and I, right? Look at us. And yet we are the joy set before the face of Christ. That same joy, the joy of seeing his people formed into his image, glorified one day in heaven in his presence, is the same joy now that maintains him as our intercessor. And then finally, he's an acceptable intercessor. His sacrifice and his blood and his person is well-pleasing to God. There is nobody you want to intercede for you. There's nobody you want to stand before the Father and plead for your blessings more than Jesus. Because when Jesus is in heaven, before the throne of God, before the Father, he is the object of heaven's adoration. He's the object of heaven's love. He's never turned away. He's never silenced. Every word he speaks is listened to. And everything he asks for is given. On and on and on and on we could go. But do you know what this means? This means that Christ is ever and always before the Father, lifting up his hands, pierced, blessing his church. And with his hands full of blessings, he pours down, he rains down with a typhoon the blessings of the gospel. Have you sinned? Christ is rising up even now, Christian, and presenting himself in heaven for you. Is your faith hanging by a thread? Christ now is praying for and pouring out the grace of faith by the Spirit to you. Remember, like Peter, his faith was going to be tried by Satan. And Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail you. And so Jesus does now. Are you in a trial? Are you suffering? Jesus is interceding for you by his blood, that even this trial will work for your good. Do you wonder if you'll make it to heaven? Christ's intercession means you can never, ever be lost. He maintains you. He secures you. He supplies you. He will never fail or forsake you. And fourth, the joy of a certain hope of the reappearance of Christ. Jesus, as he rose from the dead and stood before his people and blessed them, he will one day return and he will raise his people from the dead, and he will bless them a second time. And when he blesses them this time, every single blessing that he has died to purchase will be realized. We will be without sin. We will be without sorrow, without suffering. The entire world will be without any sickness or effect of the curse. No more death, no more loss. Come on, right? All of the things we've experienced this past year, things we come with this morning, life's tough sometimes. It's hard. We come with all sorts of baggage. But listen, just a few more years and we will stand there. People that we have lost that are in Christ, we will see again. All the sins that we struggle with will be gone. We will live in unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ for the endless ages. And the resurrection and the blessing hands of Jesus points to the certainty of this second coming. Let's not get our eyes fixed on this world. There's a world to come. There's a Christ who's returning, and he will bring a perfect and blessed kingdom with him. And all of these things are the joy of Christ's blessed people. But when the disciples heard that Jesus rose, the Bible says that they didn't believe. You know, I saw a video where somebody won millions of dollars and their first response was, wait, are you sure? Double check. Are you certain? And the disciples too, just like us, they so struggled to believe. Could this be true? Could this be true for you today, Christian? Doesn't this make all of our struggles and trials pale in comparison to this wonderful, blessed state that we're in? Right? Doesn't this make our, as Paul said, this time of struggling and striving and suffering nothing in comparison with that eternal weight of glory? It means that you, Christian, right now, you have a Christ who's interceding for you. You are blessed with the blessings of the gospel. Your sins are gone. Heaven is your home. Christ is your Savior. This ought to swell the hearts of God's people with great joy, so that with great joy they return to Jerusalem and continually are in the temple blessing God. But the Lord Jesus knows that we are slow to believe all of these things. And so Jesus came and he said, "See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." And so today in the supper, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "My doubting children, my slow to believe precious children, touch me, handle me. Let the bread be crushed in your teeth. Let the cup be swallowed and see in a tangible, visible dramatization what I have done for you. See in the bread and the cup the hands of Jesus, the bread, his body, the cup, his wounds. And see this symbol in the table, the hands of Jesus blessing his people. And in this priestly benediction, not any earthly priest, but the great high priest, is declared to you, Christian, all of the blessings of the gospel are yours and are really bestowed upon you as by faith you receive Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you come here this morning and you don't know Jesus, God has raised up Jesus to bless you. He wants to bless you. His desire is to bless you. He wants to take you into his heart as his child. He wants to care for you. He wants to make you one of his sheep. He wants to make you one of his people. He wants to pardon all of your sins. He wants to reconcile you to God. But that blessing cannot come unless you turn from your, as it says, as Peter said, turn from your wickedness. What's the blessing? To bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. The blessing isn't just the fact of turning away from sin. You could turn away from sin and never get Jesus. The point is your wickedness, your sin keeps you from Jesus. You cannot have Jesus and your sin. And what I want to do today, and what the gospel does, is not say, turn from your sin. And that's the blessing in and of itself. But it says, turn from your sin to get Jesus. And it holds out Jesus and says, Jesus is better than your sin. Jesus is more wonderful than your sin. Why would you want, right, to give yourself to sin and live a life outside of Jesus, alone, traveling this world by yourself, when you could have a shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ? You could have your sins forgiven by him. You could be viewed by God as righteous as Jesus Christ himself is in your position before God, brought into his loving heart as the object of his undying love. Why would we ever want anything more than Jesus? Why is sin more attractive to us than Jesus? Well, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God must open our eyes to show us that Jesus is better than sin, that Jesus is better than anything. And may we pray that God this morning will open our eyes to see that Jesus is better than sin, for both Christian and non-Christian alike. Jesus has risen. And because he's risen, he can bless his people and he can ever live to make intercession for his people. You are blessed in him. Let us pray before we come to the table this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blessings of the gospel. We thank you for the love that so loved the world that gave up your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We pray this morning that anybody who doesn't know Jesus would be blessed by Jesus today. We ask that those hands that are lifted up would bless them with the blessing of the Spirit sent to make hearts that are stone turned into hearts that are flesh, to make those who don't know Jesus to feel their sin, to feel their condemnation, so that they see Jesus in his loving and forgiving and gracious heart as more attractive than anything else. We ask as we come to the table that, Lord, you would now come by your Spirit and you would bless your people as by faith we receive these elements, and by faith we receive Jesus Christ, not in the flesh, but as the Spirit brings him to us. Bless your people with every blessing of the gospel. Fill our souls with a triumphant joy, a joy that can bear us through our tears and sorrows, a joy that no matter what we're feeling today can sweeten everything that we're struggling with. Bless your people, Lord Jesus, with your uplifted hands, for Jesus' sake. Amen.